You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, Otago University PhD candidate Peyton Bond published a study into the effects of decriminalisation of sex workers in Dunedin, as well as issues of workers' rights in the industry and destigmatisation of sex work. Under the Prostitution Reform Act 2003, prostitution is decriminalised in New Zealand and sex workers are afforded a number of rights. In Dunedin specifically, there are currently no bylaws affecting the work of sex workers, whereas in Queenstown and Wanaka, council bylaws have restricted legal operation areas of brothels. I spoke with Dame Catherine Healy from the New Zealand Prostitute Collective about the Prostitution Reform Act and council bylaws, how COVID-19 has affected the lives of sex workers, and the stigmatisation of sex work. Firstly, though, I began by asking Catherine about the history of the NZPC.
We formed in 1987 as a peer-based group of sex workers and entered into a contract with the Ministry of Health in 1988 and sustained that relationship. And we operate lots of community-based projects. We collaborate with Sexual Health and we have clinics. We also advise government agencies on a range of policy. We were instrumental in pushing for sex workers to be able to work in environments that are safe. You know, we led the change for the law governing sex work.
So sex work is decriminalised under the Prostitution Reform Act, but bylaws can still be passed by council members to restrict the work that sex workers can do. So how do these bylaws work?
Well, you'd have to ask council about their rationale, but you know, council have the power to determine the location of brothels as well as the signage. So what some councils have done recently, to our relief, is to shift their approach to sex work. Initially, when sex work was decriminalised in 2003, there was a kind of anti-lobbying movement of the disgruntled who said that, you know, sex workers are going to be everywhere and brothels are going to be everywhere, and they lobbied councils quite hard around the country. And some councils came in with very, very restrictive bylaws but have since, in some cases, changed their point of view and recognised that, you know, sex workers are part of the community and brothels in the main don't create disturbances.
What impact can management in the sex work industry have on its workers?
I mean, management are there and they loom rather large in the life of the sex worker, and we've had cases where sex workers have stood up and said, look, actually, you have no right to speak to me in this way, and there have been successful outcomes in a variety of different ways where management practices have been quite abusive. So, you know, we've had sex workers take management into the disputes tribunal, into the Human Rights Review Tribunal, and they've had rulings come out in their favour. And it all happens, you know, below the, for the main part, below the public eye. So, you know, the Prostitution Reform Act has given sex workers the means to take on abusive practices. But there are many things that stand in the way for people doing that. And in particular, I think it's stigma for sex workers. They worry that they may well have their name revealed and that could bring some attention that they don't want. You know, there are lots of people in a sex worker's life and some of them may or may not approve of their being involved in sex work.
Online sex workers, such as people who create content for OnlyFans and other online sites, protected by the Prostitution Reform Act?
Well, the definition are there, and they generally impact on sex workers who have contact. So you look at the definitions in the Prostitution Reform Act, and, you know, like if people go online and find that they're running into people who are coercive, for example, of course, people can't coerce you into doing things that you don't want to do, and there would be vehicles to complain about that kind of behaviour. If people are having their images controlled by somebody else, once again, that can come down to different types of legislation, and we are aware that that can be incredibly distressing for sex workers if their images are, you know, that they don't own their own images. So we say, look, you know, you've got to look at the fine print when you go into these kinds of arrangements.
How has COVID-19 affected the sex work industry?
Well, like any industry, it came to a grinding halt pretty much and for contact sex workers, you know, full service sex workers, and that was really hard. We were really pleased that the wage subsidy was available, and, you know, in the first wave of COVID lockdown, we had a lot of inquiries from sex workers, and there was apprehension, you know, from some sex workers about applying for the wage subsidy because they had concerns that they weren't as compliant as they needed to be with some of their obligations to tax. But in the main, we know that a lot of sex workers were able to access wage subsidies and or after the fact decided, you know, whether or not they could survive in sex work, because understandably when times are tough, you know, sex workers are one of the first groups that will feel that impact. But it certainly makes it difficult if people don't have disposable income. So, you know, some sex workers dropped away, a sex work dropped away for some sex workers, and they had to go to job seekers.
Does a history in sex work have a significant impact on these people who are trying to find new jobs?
Yes, it certainly is an area that people are really worried about. You know, like, you know, the world is divided in its approach to sex work and sex workers, and it certainly is something that people feel uncomfortable disclosing. Some sex workers say, look, I don't worry. I tell everyone, all my family and friends know I'm a sex worker and I'm at ease with that. But other sex workers can say, look, I was judged. I felt, you know, I wasn't going to get the job if they discovered I'd been a sex worker. And that can happen. You know, we would like to see legislation or policies where people won't discriminate on the basis of someone's sex work history.
Can potential employers deny someone work because of their past experiences in sex work?
Yes, absolutely. We believe they can and do. So people do say that they can run into this. I think attitudes have improved significantly since the law change in 2003, but I do think there's some way to go in that regard.
When you look towards the media, there's often very dehumanising portrayals of sex workers, and of course that's influenced many people's opinions of sex workers. In the eyes of the NZPC, what can destigmatisation of sex work look like?
Well, it's kind of an interesting topic because, you know, sometimes they're creating these images, you know, dark, gloomy, meant to send a shiver up your back, you know, that kind of image. And that reinforces the idea that sex workers are part of the underworld, you know, part of the shadows, you know, and not fully fleshed out human beings, part of society. So I concur with that. And the other thing that the burden of destigmatising seems to fall on sex workers, and there is evidence that if people speak out and say, look, I'm one of these, you know, I'm part of this community, that is an effective way to humanise. But sex workers make up approximately 10% of this equation, and it would be interesting if people who visit sex workers started to claim the ground and speak out a little bit more about who they are as well. And the burden shouldn't just fall on sex workers.
Because it can put them at risk as well, right?
Stigma translates into violence. You know, if people aren't seen as being fully human, I don't know if you remember the game that was popular about 10 years ago, and involved stalking, chasing down sex workers. You know, that kind of thing should be outlawed. It's inappropriate to, you know, make a game out of hunting down sex workers. It was a game that was available for teenagers, so reinforcing all those sorts of notions that people who are sex workers aren't part of the community but deserve to be hunted down. Definitely stigma translates translates into extreme violence, and sex workers can be blamed. And often, you know, when there's a situation where a sex worker has been involved and is a victim of extreme violence, sex work can be brushed under the carpet or amplified to the detriment of the sex worker. You know, what was she doing out there on a lonely street? What did she expect to happen? You know, those kinds of thoughts go through people's minds. They may not be articulated these days, which is good, but nevertheless, you know, there's a lot of victim blaming.
That was Dame Catherine Healy from the New Zealand Prostitutes Collective.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.